Wow. Atlanta showed up tonight. Oh. Wow.
Can I just say, do you miss us as much as we miss you?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I do.
You should know this, Atlanta. Backstage, the crew was saying, and the crew knows everything, that this is the best dressed audience they've had on the tour so far. And they said it's the most enthusiastic and the highest energy on the tour so far. So, bravo, Atlanta! Would you agree, Mrs. Obama, to that?
And you all look good tonight. You would have thought you were going somewhere.
I think people have some new outfits. Just saying.
Hey, so, Gail.
Hey,
King.
Michelle Obama.
My girl is here. Thank you
so,
for this.
I am so excited to be here.
Hey.
Michelle says hi. Michelle says hi to you. Section 392. This is the thing, Mrs. Obama. I was there on the very first day when you did the very first conversation about this book.
Yeah.
You were in New York with Oprah. Then you were in Chicago with Oprah. So here we are, guys, on book tour number 33.
Thank you.
But I was there from day one.
Thank you, guys.
And by the way, it sold out every single place. But this is the thing that struck me that day. You were very, very excited, as I recall,
yeah.
But you were also a little nervous.
I was.
And I was like, why? How?
You know, I first of all, I had a wonderful conversation with an amazing honors class at Spelman. Bunch of them, yes. We cried, we shared, we talked, but we talked about imposter syndrome. And when I think about the first day that my book was launching, I have to admit, I had a little bit of that. Because I was sort of writing this book all by myself for a year. You know, you got to see it, Oprah got to see it, my husband read it, a few people, and you guys were like, this is it, you yes. did it, this is powerful. But I think, you know, Gail and Oprah, they're my friends. You know, they didn't want to hurt my feelings. And my husband loves me. And my brother was like, yeah, I didn't see any typos, you know.
Yes.
So that first conversation, that first day, that first launch, I started thinking to myself, maybe I overreached. Maybe it's not that good of a book. Maybe people won't get it. I mean, yeah, y'all. I mean, what
you
I
was wrong.
I was wrong, but I also want young people to know that, yeah, I still have those doubts of whether, yeah. Is this real? Are people, you know, I've spoken in arenas, I've spoken on live TV, I've given some major speeches, but I was nervous in a very different way because this book was about me. I put my life, my soul out there, and I wasn't sure whether what I wanted to give to you all was actually what you'd get. So, yeah, I was nervous in a way that I didn't anticipate.
What did your husband say to you, if anything, the day before it launched? You must have talked about it.
Well, I couldn't sleep, and I'm not that girl. I'm like, pillow on head on pillow, eyes out, I'm out. But the night before the launch, I couldn't sleep. And I was tossing and turning, and I was worrying about whether this all made sense. And I got up and I went up to Barack's office and it was like 1 o'clock. He stays up late. So of course he was shocked to see me. He was like, what are you doing up? And I said, tell me the truth. I said, is the book good? I mean, is this something? He was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And it was, he spent a 30 minutes calming me down and saying, I'm so proud of you. And I think that was the first time that evening that I took it all in, and I was like, man, what you just did, for the first time after we got out, I looked at my husband and I told him straight up that I was so proud of him, that what he had done and how he had achieved it and the grace that he
had
managed through it all.
Yes.
And it was interesting that the night before all of this started, it kind of hit me what we had just done. Because we were so busy just getting through it, y'all, you know, that there was really no time to ever sit back and reflect and just think and be. And I was talking to the students about that. that if you just are just running and doing and doing and you never have a moment to reflect, sometimes you miss those really important times to just congratulate yourself, mm-hmm. to thank yourself, to mm-hmm. be grateful. And I don't want young people to do that because mm-hmm. we get so busy mm-hmm. and we get so rushed and we don't have time to breathe mm-hmm. and we don't have an opportunity to show gratitude to ourselves.
To ourselves. You know, you're making a very interesting point when Snoop Dogg got his star on the Hall of Fame.
I love the start Snoop Dogg. That's like,
but this
reminds
is going
me
somewhere.
Of a time when Snoop Dogg, it's like, only but, Gayle King,
no,
and then there was
no,
the time.
But you're making me think about that, because when you said about thanking yourself, he was thanking everybody, and at the end he said, but I'd like to thank me
yeah.
for as hard as I work. And that's yeah. what made me think of that we don't often, when we do something, right. thank ourselves. But let me tell you something, guys. This book has sold over 10.5 million copies.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Atlanta.
You.
We should really have a show of hands of people who didn't read it so we can have you escorted out by security. Because everybody I talk to in this audience has read the book. But, you know, but Michelle does, she wants to include everyone, so she will not let you be kicked out. But I
no,
say,
you won't be
security.
Kicked out. Don't listen to Gayle.
But this is the thing. You took us by the hand. You really did, on a journey of your life. It was candid. It was raw. It was inspirational. It was at times laugh out loud funny. There were a couple times I needed a tissue. But the thing that struck me throughout the book is that you asked many times, am I good enough? Mm-hmm. From, you know, in school to the White House, you were asking, am I good enough? And one of the earlier times you asked was in high school. Why did you ask in high school, am I good enough? There was a story about a counselor who said something mm-hmm. to you. I remember that.
Yeah, I was a senior applying to colleges, and I know that we've got many rising juniors, rising seniors who are about to enter that process, and it is no fun. You know, it is a great time of insecurity mm-hmm. because you're taking that first big leap. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, as you heard on the video, my brother went to Princeton, and I had visited him, and I definitely did think, I know him.
Yes.
And if he can get in Princeton,
yes.
Right, I know I can get in. I absolutely said that to him, and he agreed. He was like, oh, yeah, you're much smarter than me, and you work much harder, for sure. So Princeton was the only Ivy League school I was thinking about applying to, because like most working-class kids who didn't mm-hmm. have college graduate parents, that was all I saw. You know, you only reach for what you see. And gosh, thank God I had an older brother that was a smart athlete and could get into top schools. And that made me think, well, of course I can, because I know him. That's why it's important for young people to see themselves. Because
yes.
if you
yes.
see somebody that you know doing it,
yes.
it makes you think, well, yeah, I can reach there.
Yes.
So I was all ready to apply, and I went and with the obligatory meeting with the college counselor, and I told her my plans, and she said, I don't really think you're Princeton material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first, not the first, because there are many times in the lives of young people, people of color, women, where we are underestimated by someone.
Someone
decides, based on the limited information they have, because of the color of your skin or the size of your hips or, you know, your address or your pedigree, they decide for you what you should reach for. And at that moment in time, mm-hmm. I had two choices. I could listen to the doubters, because there would be many.
Yes.
And fall back
yes.
and narrow my sights and lower my bar. Or I could listen to the truth of who I knew I was. And we are all going to have and will hit those times in our lives where somebody will tell us, no, I don't want you to be that big. I don't think you should be that successful. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't want that much. Don't mm-hmm. dream that big. You know, it's part of the game of power, mm-hmm. Gayle. You
yes.
know this.
Oh, I know this.
Because
I know this very well.
If they want the power, they want us not to want it. So what better way
yes.
to keep us small than to continue to underestimate us?